Aren't you thankful, man? We think about that in so many different ways, that Jesus never fails. Not simply in life and the situations of life, but as we think about the message tonight, I think about the aspect of sin, that Jesus never fails, and Jesus never what? Failed. And I'm thankful for the truth and the reality of that. This morning's message was a little different in nature. Just as we were dealing with justice system and looking at it from God's perspective and yet our roles and responsibilities in it. But tonight we'll get right back into our study in 1 John thinking about sin. Sin is a short word, only three letters. And they're kind of small letters at that. And we think about how we put those together and make a short word. But sin has a huge repercussion in life. My life, your life, everybody's life. We can think of it in so many different ways. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So sin brings us to a point of eternal punishment. We talked about this morning that crime requires punishment. And those different aspects of life, that there's discipline and punishment that come with it. Well, as we're studying in the book of 1 John, we know that 1 John wrote to, did he write to believers or to unbelievers? He wrote to believers. So this was written to those who already trusted Jesus Christ as Savior from their sin. So they're already saved. Now we know that he continues to talk about sin and a relationship with God. And in the first chapter he talks about the fellowship that they have one with another. And most importantly, the fellowship that they have with who? Jesus, and the fellowship that they can have with him. Verse 6 of chapter 1, he says, if we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. Hey, you say you're saved, so don't live in the darkness. Live a life that's different. Chapter 2, he starts off with, my little children, these things write I unto you, that ye what? Sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. There's the truth that we don't have to sin when we walk in the Savior. We don't have to sin. Yielding allegiance, glad-hearted and free. When I'm yielding constantly to God, I won't what? Sin. It's when I don't yield to God that I sin. Now, we all sin. I mean, think about it. I know me, I've already sinned today. Multiple times. How about you? So what do we do with that? How do we go on with life? Do we just continue sinning? That grace may abound? Paul says in Romans, God forbid. No, that can't be. We're saved, we're different. In chapter 3, we talked about sanctification. And it seems like, wow, it's been that long ago. Remember when we had Ben up here and he was showing us the different aspects of sanctification and those different aspects of life. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we shall know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And finally, being without sin. Well, here we then finished up with verse 3, and it says, and every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. It's that desire of practical sanctification, and how often should that affect our lives? Every day, daily. It's a choice that who has to make? We, as individuals, I must make that, to yield to God, not to my flesh. Because my flesh lusteth against the Spirit, so that, as Paul says, I do the things I don't want to do, but I don't do the things I want to do, but I'm just yielding to my own heart. I shouldn't follow my heart, as the world says. Let your heart decide, as an old Disney song says. A whole new world. Well, wait a second. Don't let your heart decide. Let the Word of God dictate life. Plan ahead of time how you will live. And we know we must not sin. So, as we think about this passage tonight, how many of you know what sin you predominantly struggle with? Okay, at least half of us. Think about that. We don't want to struggle with that sin, do you? I don't want to struggle. I mean, I know what I struggle with. I don't want to struggle with that sin. I hate it. And man, I want to yield to God, and I want to, God help me have victory, because I can't do this in my own strength, in my own flesh. I was talking to an unsaved individual not long ago. We were meeting for a while over at Cravings, and that's a great place to meet, right? You just go find some coffee shop and meet with somebody. But it was a neat opportunity that we had, and we were talking and dealing with stuff, and he was struggling with the fact of sin. Because why does someone have to be saved? Because of what? Sin. I have to come to the conclusion that that person's sin, and we all had to do that, that our sin is wicked. Remember we said that? It was a few months ago now what we said. My sin is wicked. But sometimes it's hard for us to really grasp that and believe it. Like, yeah, that's wrong, but yeah, I struggle with that. Wait a second, my sin is wicked. So this individual struggled with this fact that their sin is wicked. And in order to be saved, we need to repent. Turning from what we are and acknowledging my sin before God and accepting His gift. It's not a works-based salvation. It's not turning my life and cleaning it up. It's acknowledging my sin is wicked and Jesus is the only hope for that salvation. Well, this individual had a struggle with that. Because he said, if you struggle with that sin, with whether, I think we're talking about the easiness of getting frustrated with my kids and struggling with that. He said, if you struggle with that, what makes my sin any worse? I said, our sin is wrong. The difference is, I don't want to do it. I'm trying to yield to God so that God will give me victory, and He will. I want to repudiate that sin as opposed to clinging to it. And he struggled to grasp that principle because he was unsaved. And he liked his sin. But you don't know. And going through some specifics, it's like, wait a second. But I do know. I know how much I struggle with sin too. But the difference as a Christian is, I don't want to sin. I don't want that sin. In fact, as a Christian, we should see my sin today that I struggle with is different than my sin last year that I struggled with. Or 10 years ago. If I still continue in the same sin, I should evaluate my life. Am I just doing it? Am I not yielding to God? Or am I indeed not saved? Now again, as we're studying the book of 1 John, we already remembered that the book of 1 John is written to who? Believers. They are saved. So we had opportunities tonight to hear testimonies of some who have been saved and gone on before. Some other Sundays, nights ago, we've talked about when you got saved. So we look at our life and say, I know I'm saved. Not based on anything I've done, but because I've asked Jesus to forgive me of my sin. My sin is wicked. So now what do I do with my sin? Are you going to struggle with sin this week? Who else? Who's going to struggle with it this week? Okay. Now, that's not something we're proud of, is it? When I say these things, all I'm trying to do is get us to acknowledge, man, I struggle with sin. Not to be proud of it, but to say, God, I need your help. I want you to change my life. Kids, teens, as you struggle with sin, yield to God. We sang the song earlier, O-B-E-Y, obey always. O-B-E-Y, obey when? And that's what God wants. And so here we come to 1 John. After verse 3, he said, and they that have this hope in them purify it themselves. Man, I want to live for God. Here we come into verse 4. Whosoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law. These are big words, kids, aren't they? These are big words, adults, aren't they? Whoso committeth sin transgresseth also the law. For sin is the transgression of the law. And ye know that he was manifested to take away our sins, and in him is no sin. Who is that pronoun, that personal pronoun talking about? Jesus. We know that he, verse 6, whoso abideth in him, Jesus, sinneth not. Whosoever sinneth hath not seen him, neither known him. Little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is what? Just kind of plain and simple. Even as he is righteous. Then he goes on, verse 8, he that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin, because he is born of God. In this the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil. Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of who? Neither he that loveth not his brother. And then he brings us into another section. We're not going to talk about loving in the brother and hating the brother and how that affects our life. But we're talking tonight about my sin. What do I do with my sin that I don't want, that I battle with, and that I need to yield to God? I need to live my life like a child of God. Plain and simple. Verse 4 says, whosoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law. Then he goes on, whoso abideth in him sinneth not. Some people take this passage of Scripture and they come to the conclusion, and I think we've talked about this before with 1 John, that there is such a thing as sinless perfection. Meaning that I come to a point in my life where I don't sin anymore. Wouldn't that be nice? Man, I've talked with some people. And we had people, we had an individual in our church back in Muskegon years ago, and he as he studied, he came to the conclusion that he had reached that plateau. He never sinned. He made some mistakes, but he never sinned anymore. Now the sad reality is, you and I struggle with sin the rest of our lives, because we still have the old nature dwelling within us. Yes, according to what Paul said in Corinth to the church at Corinth, that we are new creatures. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things are become new. That's why I've got a new desire to live for God. That's why I can fight the flesh and the struggles that I have within. But I will never come to the point where I won't sin anymore. I struggle with sin because of my flesh. We're reminded, if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Christ Jesus. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful. Again, remember, he's writing to believers. So here, as these believers sin, they had to come to the conclusion of, what do they do with their sin? If I'm going to live my life like a child of God tomorrow, how many of you want to live like a child of God tomorrow? So do I. But it doesn't just come naturally, does it? So tomorrow, we commit together, hey, I want to live like God tomorrow. I want to live like I'm a child of God. So number one, I must admit the truth about sin. Specifically the truth about my sin. But I need to admit the truth about sin. Sin can be an act. Quite literally, the word, the Greek word that is used for sin, means miss the mark. Anybody ever shot bow and arrow? Okay, I've done that too. My wife's uncle wanted to get me into deer hunting, and he enjoyed that. And I thought, hey, this wouldn't be bad, and he was going to take care of everything I needed, all of the equipment and everything to get me into hunting. And man, all spring I thought, man, I've got to get out and I've got to shoot. I've got to shoot with the bow, and I've got to practice and aim and practice. Well, I never had the chance or the opportunity, or I didn't take it, whatever you may say. Come fall, guess what I chose not to be part of? Hunting. Because I didn't want to get in the tree stand and completely miss the mark of not hitting the deer. I just thought, hey, I just won't do it. But as we go through life, we often miss the mark. The law. And here this talks about it in verse 4. It says, whoso committeth sin transgresseth also the law. Now this word commit a sin gives us the idea of a habit of doing sin. The habit of doing sin. The way the tense that it's used in Greek language has different tenses than what we have here in our English language. And as you look at this specifically, it's not just saying a one-time sin, but you're making it a habit, a way of life. I just will keep sinning. I'm going to walk that way. Just do it. Man, this would feel good. Just like an individual that I've talked with about, man, you needed to get saved. But I don't want to give this up. You don't know. I said, I don't know. But are you going to let that one whole thing hold you back from heaven? I hope that person will get saved someday. But I don't know. Now we are looking at our lives and saying, okay, sin. Not just one act of sin, but the habit of just keep, I just do it. You get the habit of brushing your teeth, I hope. Right? You get the habit of taking care of your hair. And you get the habit of doing all sorts of different things. But we don't want to get in the habit of sinning. Well, that's just how I live. That is how I will live my life. Admit the truth about sin. For some, it's a way of life. Compare this with 1 John 3:3. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he's pure. Why? Because we look at him. Someday we'll be like him because we will see him as he is. Today, how can I be like him? Seeing him as he is in his word. And if I'm going to live my life without that sin, I need to see him in his word. Sin, it's the opposite of 1 John 2 verse 29 here as he's talking about that. 2 verse 29 says, if ye know that he is righteous, ye know that everyone that doeth righteousness is born of him. Here we've got doeth righteousness, but in verse 4 it talks about committing sin. The opposite of that. Does that mean because I'm a child of God, I've been born again? I'm thankful for that. And I'm thankful for how God pointed out my need for that. But does that mean I always do righteous? No, but I'm born of him. It is my habit. It is my manner of life. Man, I wish it was more of an easy habit. You know, some things we just don't think about, but we do. We breathe. More than just habitually. It's because it's part of our nature. But man, I wish living righteously was always that easy. But it's a battle that I have to face. Because tomorrow I want to live like I'm a child of God. I have to admit the truth about my sin. It's easy to be habit forming. But I've got to constantly yield it to God. It is lawlessness. Remember, kids, I said that would be a big word. Lawlessness. What does that mean? It is missing the mark. Someone has said, all sin is lawlessness, and all lawlessness is sin. But more than that, lawlessness means it ignores God's law. Not that it argues it's not there, it just ignores it. When the Holy Spirit convicts you of sin, do you just completely ignore it and go on? Remember, adults, we said, O-B-E-Y, obey always, O-B-E-Y, obey now, even for you and me. We must obey now when God challenges us. Teens and kids are challenged with that at camp. As we prepare to go for the ladies' retreat or man camp this fall and see those things in life, that's what God wants in our life. Are we willing to obey now what God speaks and challenges us? What if, when God made it evident in my life that he was leading me and my family to Jeruel, what if I said, not now, God, maybe later? Would that have had a repercussion on my family? Yes or no? And would it have been negative on my family? But would it have affected each one of you too? My sin can affect so many people. And so we've got to admit the truth about our sin. That it is lawlessness. It is missing the mark. It's ignoring what God says. Whosoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law. He goes against or ignores the law of God. As one of the definitions I learned of sin as a teenager, it was anything you think, say, or do that doesn't please God or displeases God. But man, as Sarah said it here tonight, that is against the law of God, or however that definition was. That's what it is. God has specific law and things in place. And we must obey him. Yielding to him. Admit the truth about sin. It does become a way of life, but it shouldn't be it as a Christian. He's talking about that as a Christian. It shouldn't be a way of life. It shouldn't be the same things I'm constantly battling with. Though I struggle with sin every day, and we already know what sin we're really going to struggle with tomorrow, and probably faced with other temptations too, but I need to yield that to God. We see also that as we look at the truth about sin, who is sin from? Yes, it's from our heart, and James reminds us it comes out of the lust of our own desires in our hearts. But look at verse 9. Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin, because he is born of God. In this the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil. Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother. Now, did the devil make Eve sin? No, he didn't. So Eve sure made Adam sin, didn't she? No. And yes, jokes have been said about that over years, whatever. It was the wife's fault and whatever. I mean, no, wait a second. We all have to come to that point that it is my fault. But the devil didn't make them do it. The devil offered them and tempted them, but he sure didn't make them. And it's the same with you and me. He offers it at times. Many times, as James says, we're not even tempted that way. We're just tempted of our own lust in our heart. You know, sometimes we say, well, man, I sure was tempted by the devil. And sometimes, man, there is the temptation from the devil. But sometimes, man, my heart just draws me away because I lust after whatever it is. That attitude or that position or whatever it may be. Admitting the truth about sin, it is from the father of sin, the devil. John 8:44. Jesus is speaking in the Gospel of John, again written by the same individual, the Apostle John. John 8:44. Turn back there if you will with me. John 8:44. Again, we see the truth about sin. Let's actually start at verse 42. Jesus said unto them, if God were your father, ye would love me, for I proceeded forth and came from God. Neither came I of myself, but he sent me. Why do ye not understand my speech? Even because ye cannot hear my word. Ye are of your father the devil, and the lusts of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no what? Truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a and the father of it. And because I tell you the truth, ye believe me not. Jesus said, hey, you are of your father, the devil, and the lusts that come from him. And so when we think about our sin, the reality is, when I choose to sin, am I choosing to live like a child of God? Yes or no? So tomorrow, whether it's worry, fear, whatever other emotion that is a sinful response, whether it's anger that comes out, whether it's an action of sin, anything that I think, say, or do that breaks the law of God, am I choosing to live like a child of God? No. But do I need to choose to live like a child of God? Yes, because remember, verse 3 said, he purifieth himself. Now granted, we're changed, sanctification, remember we talked about that, through Jesus Christ. But I've got to yield to him. So, how can I yield tomorrow so I can admit the truth about my sin tomorrow? What's one way I can yield tomorrow? What's that? Okay, submitting to God. And how do I submit if I don't know what he expects? I can't. Our parents, when we lived in our house, there were certain rules, right? Don't do this or do that or whatever. We knew what they were. It's pretty hard to obey your parents when they set down some rules that they don't tell you about and then hold you accountable for them. God has made his law very plain and clear. And we need to live life according to his law. Sometimes we just don't listen, do we? Your kids ever said, but you never said that. Well, I did. You just didn't listen, right? And we go through some of those things in life that you just got to listen. And that's what God wants us to do. God wants us to listen to him through his word so that I can know what to submit to. So if I'm going to admit the truth about my sin tomorrow, man, I need to be in his word so that I can admit the truth and see the reality of what he is. So, if I'm going to live like a child of God, I must, number one, admit the truth about sin. Number two, I need to acknowledge the truth about Jesus. Acknowledge the truth about Jesus. Now, Jesus said in John 14, verse 6, I am the, what? Way, the
And he already said that in John 8:44. Now here we see he says, I am the truth and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. If you're saved here, you've admitted the truth about Jesus, haven't you? We've acknowledged the truth. He is it. He's the only way. He's the only way for salvation. He's the only way for victory over sin. We know these things. But tomorrow, if I'm going to live like a child of God, I need to acknowledge it tomorrow. Not that I need to get saved all over again. Because the Bible makes it plain, once I'm saved, how long am I saved? Okay, aren't you thankful? I can't lose that. My one act of sin, or this sin that I'm battling with and I'm wanting to give to God and I'm wanting to have His strength, it's not going to cause me to lose my salvation, but I need to yield it to Him. But tomorrow, if I'm going to choose to live like God, I must acknowledge the truth about Jesus Christ. The first thing that I can acknowledge about Him, He came because of sin. 1 John 3, verse 5. And ye know that He was manifested, or shown, or delivered, or seen. We know that He was manifested to take away our sins, and in Him is no sin. He came to take away the sins of the world. Why did He come? To take away the sins of the world. We know that. John 1:29. Turn back there. Again, we're kind of comparing some of these things with the Gospel of John. But in John chapter 1, verse 29, we see this truth again. The next day, John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, and again, this is John the Baptist, not John the Apostle. The next day, John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the, what? Sin of the world. That's why Jesus came. Again, the gospel writer, John the Apostle, who wrote what we just saw, he wrote what happened with John the Baptist and Jesus. He's also writing to these believers and saying, He came to take away the sin of the world. And that's a truth I need to acknowledge even as a believer. It's not just enough to get saved, but it's enough I need to acknowledge it every day. He came to take away the sin of the world. He's not referring to just the manner that He took away the sin of the world. What did Jesus do to take away the sin of the world? What did He do? He came to do what? Die on the cross, and He shed His blood, and He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. But this isn't simply referring to the manner or the act of what Jesus did. It's referring to just the truth. He came to take away the sin of the world. And as we think about that and acknowledge that, it's not simply He died for my sin to make me free from the penalty of sin, but free from the power of sin here on earth. He came to take away the sin of the world. To this whole expression of the removal of sin. I don't have to sin. You don't have to sin. Tomorrow we can live like a child of God. But it takes acknowledging the truth about Jesus. He's the one who came to take away my sin, so that I can have victory tomorrow. Whatever that sin is. And as we think about it in our life, as we many of us admit it, I know what I'm going to battle with tomorrow. Let's go into tomorrow prepared. Jesus, You came to help take away that sin. Let's live that way tomorrow. And let's come to Him tomorrow morning before we get going on the day and say, help me. I know this sin I'm going to battle with. And there are going to be other temptations we're faced with. We know that every day, don't we? But we know specifically at least one aspect we're going to be challenged and tempted with is sin. So let's say, let's come to God and acknowledge He came to take that sin away, that I can live like a child of God tomorrow. He came because of sin. Incredible. He lived without sin. Once again, verse 5, it says, you know that He was manifested to take away our sins, and in Him is what? No sin. Man, I'm challenged with that, and I talk about that with our kids from time to time. Did Jesus yell at His brother? It's incredible to think about. And man, I think about this. Kids, Jesus was your age. Teenagers, Jesus was your age. You know, and I guess in some ways, as I think about a teenager and Jesus being that, I think of Spencer. Because Jesus was what? He was a boy, right? He really was. I mean, when we stop to grasp the reality of who Jesus was, Spencer, Jesus was your age one time. Like, that blows me away. Like, that's incredible. And you and I can live like Jesus when I acknowledge why he came, even as a boy. Do you think Jesus ever got punished for sin? At least not for his own. But I wonder sometimes, did his parents punish him for his sibling's sin, thinking it was his? I don't know, because, you know, Mary pondered all these things in her heart. She knew she had the promised Messiah. But was Mary a sinner? Mary could have yelled at Jesus. It wouldn't have been right. He sure didn't deserve it. He never sinned. And here again, we're reminded he in him was no sin. But if Jesus ever was punished for sin, never his own, of course, never. He never sinned. But if he was punished, did he sin in response to it? But I didn't do it. He didn't do it, but did he respond in anger ever? No. Which is incredible to think about. Acknowledging the truth about Jesus. In him is no sin. Tomorrow I can live like Jesus. Acknowledging that truth about him. He lived without sin. So many references we could look at. 2 Corinthians 5:21, he knew no sin so that we could be the righteousness of God. He didn't sin, but he came so that I could be the righteousness. And we see this in this passage, right living. Right living. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 22. Turn over there real quick, if you will. Not far from where we are. Back a few pages in your Bible. Or up a few scrolls if you're in your digital Bible. First Peter chapter 2, verse 22. Who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. Who when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously. And who judges righteously? God. Even if Jesus was misunderstood and miscommunicated about, falsely accused, every accusation about him that was wrong was always false because Jesus had no sin. Verse 24, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree. He who knew no sin took my sin on him. That we, being dead to sin, should live under righteousness. That we should live under righteousness. So tomorrow I should live like a child of God. Righteous. That which doesn't miss the mark. That which is right. Back to shooting bow and arrow. It's the bullseye. That's how I should live my life, like a child of God. By whose stripes ye were healed, for ye were as sheep going astray, but are now returned unto the shepherd and bishop of your souls. When we stop to think about some of those truths, it is unreal. Acknowledge the truth about who Jesus is to me, to you and to me, and the difference he makes in our life. Not just on Sundays during Sunday morning or Sunday evening service, but on Mondays. The difference he wants to make in my life. Admitting the truth about my sin. Acknowledging the truth about Jesus. He came because of sin. He lived without sin. He frees us from sin. Back to 1 John chapter 3, verse 6. Whosoever abideth in him, what? Sinneth not. Once again, we see that whole, the tense, the Greek tense that was used. It's not that I never sin. It's, man, I don't make it a habit of life. God, I don't want to sin and I'm struggling with this. Would you give me victory? Help me, strengthen me, change me. He frees us from sin. John 8:32. And ye shall know the truth and the truth shall make you free. Free from what? The power of sin. Not just the penalty someday, but the power tomorrow. I can live like a child of God. And then I see that I don't need to simply admit the truth about sin, which I have to if I'm going to live like a child of God, but I've got to replace it by what? Acknowledging the truth about Jesus. There's that biblical principle we constantly see, put off, put on. Put off my sin, put on Jesus. Put off, put on. But then thirdly, we see I need to accept the truth about righteousness. Accepting the truth about righteousness. Who does righteousness come from? Jesus. He is it. Yes, he's the Savior of the world. Yes, he lived without sin. But that's the only way you and I can have a changed life. That is the only way we can have righteousness. Now, some people say, well, everyone's a child of God. And if you want to say that in a general sense, okay, because God created how many people? Everyone. But the reality of what even Jesus said back in John, he said, you are of your father, the... There are two spiritual families. So over on the one side, we have the devil's family. I mean, really, we think about this. This is biblical terminology. You are of your father, the devil. We've got the devil's family. And over here, we have God's family. We're all born into sin. We're born with that sin nature. Now, when I come to the point and acknowledge my sin for what it is, admitting my truth about my sin, acknowledging the truth about Jesus, that he died on the cross for my sin, and I repent of my sin, doesn't mean I don't ever sin again. But it means I'm a child of God. What a blessing. So now tomorrow we need to live like we're children of God. When were you saved? Have you been living like a child of God? You know, it's been, I think, about 31 years that I've been saved. Do I always live like I'm a child of God? Yes or no? Okay, you can all say that once at the same time. What, do I always live like I'm a child of God? Do you? Should we? Yeah. But it requires me admitting the truth about my sin even today and acknowledging the truth about Jesus, but accepting that righteousness only comes from God. Not simply the righteousness that I can have to go to heaven, but the righteousness here on earth, the sanctification of living godly today. It only comes from God. From the new birth. Verse 9. Actually, let's go back to verse 7. Little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous. It's plain truth. There's no trick question here. Now, sometimes people can deceive by their actions. But he said, he that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous. He that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. The sin, the lust of my heart. But not simply destroying, but putting in the put off, put on principle. Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin, for his deed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin because he is born of God. In this, the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil. Whosoever doeth not what? Righteousness, or that which is right, is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother. We see the terminology born again is a biblical thing. John 3, we see that. Here in 1 John 3, we see that. There is the new birth principle. I am born into the family of God, my Father, my Heavenly Father. Incredible truths. I'm adopted. Brother Rosario, I think it was last Sunday evening, he talked about adoption and went through some of those biblical truths. I believe five blessings of the adoption that I have in God. And man, what a blessing with that. But now, one of those blessings is I get to live like a child of God tomorrow. I don't have to go back and live like I'm a child of the devil. Oh, I'm saved and I can live however I want. Well, the question then is, are you really saved? Because there's that new nature put in you. Again, not committing the continually committing the habit of sin, but living righteously. And this righteousness, it comes from the new birth. We could look back at John 3, 1 through 8 and see that with Nicodemus. But it comes from God the Father. That's who he came. He's the Son of God was manifested, verse 8 says. So this righteousness comes from God the Father. It just blows me away that God would care enough about me. Who am I? One, to be a child of God, but two, to live like a child of God. When I think about the vastness of the state of Michigan, and then think about the vastness of the entire country of the United States of America. And then think about the vastness of the Western Hemisphere. And then the vastness of the planet Earth. Let alone the vastness of the Milky Way. And the vastness of the universe. Who am I that I can be a child of God? and then live like a child of God. But I am. That is a blessing of God. That's a blessing of adoption. So tomorrow we need to live like a child of God. So let's admit our sin. We already know what we struggle with. Let's just admit the truth about my sin with God. Let's acknowledge the truth about Jesus, that He came to take away, yes, the penalty, but the power tomorrow of that sin over me. And then accept the fact and the truth that righteousness comes from God. And what does it produce? A changed life. Old things are passed away. Behold, some things are become new. All things. So let's live that way tomorrow. So what do you do when you're tempted with this sin tomorrow? One, we start our day admitting the truth about sin and acknowledging the truth about Jesus and accepting the truth that the righteousness comes from God. But tomorrow, I've done that. And then I struggle with sin again. What do I do? The same thing again. Admit the truth about my sin. Acknowledge the truth about my Savior. And accept the truth that righteousness comes from God. Even when you're tempted with sin, man, you're battling with that temptation. Don't yield to the flesh. Yield to the Spirit. How many of you want to live like a child of God tomorrow? I do. Let's make that commitment tonight that we would do that. Father, we thank You for Your love. Lord, would You help us to live like a child of God? If there's someone here who doesn't know Jesus Christ as Savior, God, I pray that You'd help them to realize this need of a Savior, to realize that Jesus is the only hope for the penalty of sin to being removed, but also the power. But God, many in this room, I know, are saved. And God, we want to live like a child of You tomorrow. Would You change us? Let's stand with our heads bowed, our eyes closed. Maybe God's challenged you and there's just something you just need to yield to God or acknowledge about your sin, and you just want to come and deal with God with that. Would you do that? Come forward. You can deal with God right in your pew, but maybe God is just challenging you and you just want to say, God, I want to submit this to You. I want to cement this decision in my heart and my mind before You. Like the chorus of this song says, oh, Jesus, Lord and Savior, I give myself to Thee. He's given all for us. It says, for Thou in Thine atonement didst give Thyself for me. Shed His blood on the cross, not just for the penalty of my sin, but for the power tomorrow so I can live like a child of God. I own no other master. My heart shall be Thy throne. My life I give henceforth to live. O Christ, for Thee alone. Tomorrow, let's commit to live for God. We'll take just a couple seconds, even right where we're standing, and commit that time to God. Tomorrow, as Rena plays, God, would You help me to live like a child of You tomorrow? If you need it, we'll sing on the first verse, 450, if you need it. Living for Jesus. Living for Jesus, a life that is true. Striving to please Him in all that I do. Yielding allegiance, glad-hearted and free. This is the pathway of blessing for me. O Jesus, Lord and Savior, I give myself to Thee. For Thou in Thine atonement didst give Thyself for me. I own no other master. My heart shall be Thy throne. My life I give henceforth to live. O Christ, to Thee alone. Amen. Brother Bill Withrow, would you close us in prayer?